Robinhood Radio presents Your Health with osteopathic physician Dr. Kim Tripp, a show presented monthly on Robinhood Radio, discussing the challenges faced and the solutions that are available for keeping vital health and well-being throughout our lives. And now, here's Dr. Tripp.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Your Health with Dr. Kim Tripp, osteopathic physician. This is the health show created to bring you information and discussion of all sorts of health issues on your mind and in your life from the unique perspective of traditional osteopathic medicine. So first, as we always do for new listeners, let's clarify what osteopathic medicine means. Osteopathic medicine is practiced by fully licensed physicians in the United States with a DO degree, a Doctor of Osteopathic Medicine degree. Our practice is based on the essential relationship in all living things between structure and function. In other words, the natural interdependence between anatomy and physiology, or between the physics of the body and its chemistry. As osteopathic physicians, we use our comprehensive and precisely detailed knowledge of anatomy and physiology to promote health and healing in our patients. We work gently with our hands to help your body restore optimal function based on optimal structure. Our medical specialty is therefore called osteopathic manual medicine. We receive uniquely in-depth training in anatomy and physiology and their relationship within your body in the context of a full physician's medical training. Only U.S.-trained osteopaths are fully licensed physicians and have all of the current medical pharmacopoeia, nutritional science, and full medical training at our disposal. This means that your individual treatment may include a wide range of approaches, but it will always be founded on our gentle hands-on work. We practice from the unique perspective of first looking for the health in our patients rather than merely finding illness and disease. Our practice has been especially effective for, but is not limited to, musculoskeletal and other structural issues, as well as problems like chronic headache, gastrointestinal issues, post-concussion syndrome, sleep disturbance, and many, many other problems. We work together with you, the patient, to help you build health and vitality in your body, mind, and spirit as the solution for health problems, rather than only treating the disease symptoms. So in the radio show, we tackle health issues from this point of view. What can we do to help you build your health and vitality in order to prevent and heal injuries and disease? And we do that by giving you some basic information about the problem to help you understand what is happening, as well as to offer solutions and guidance for helping yourself to heal and stay healthy based on our clinical experience with patients in our practice. Before we get started on today's topic, let me remind you that you can listen to all the prior Your Health shows online at your convenience, such as the shows on back pain, nutrition, carpal tunnel, and allergy, by going to Robinhood Radio's website, then the On Demand section, then scroll down and select the Your Health shows, or by going to www.goldmantripp.com and clicking on the radio show banner and follow the instructions. It's very convenient. Today we're going to begin to explore in more detail the liver and the gallbladder. Regular listeners will recall that we did a 6-show series on the entire gastrointestinal system last year that included the liver and gallbladder. But at this time of year of just possibly some holiday indulgence happening, I would like to delve into these two crucial organs of digestion and detoxification in more detail, especially that liver. But first, let's have a bit of a review of the amazing gastrointestinal system that includes our liver and gallbladder. Recall that your gastrointestinal system, or GI system for short, is our largest system in the body and involves many different organs and tissues with a complex regulatory system that relies on its own nervous system, the enteric nervous system. Our GI system, like the skin, interacts directly with the outer world every time we eat and drink. It is literally our lifeline by which we take in food and water, process these, and eliminate the waste. A vast and complicated task in and of itself. But it does much more than that. The GI system is not just a long curvy tube with a hole at either end. It's truly an anatomical and physiological marvel that is approximately 30 feet long, about the width of a tennis court. And that 30 feet of complex anatomy is curled back around on itself many, many times and housed in a 5 or 6 foot tall body, only 1/5 its own length. The GI system includes all the functional organs and tissues that ingest, process, and eliminate waste from food, water, and anything else that we ingest. The GI tract includes the organs from mouth to anus that are the internal tract of the ingested materials once they are chewed and swallowed. So the GI system includes the GI tract. And the GI tract consists of the oral cavity, our mouth, the esophagus, the food tube in the throat, stomach, small intestine, large intestine, and rectum. In addition to the GI tract, the GI system includes the salivary glands, tongue, taste buds, and teeth, as well as the pancreas, enteric nervous system, and that liver and gallbladder that we're going to discuss in more depth today. So, on to the liver. The liver is a very large organ nestled up against the diaphragm on the right side of the upper abdomen under the ribs. The liver is the second largest organ in the body, second only to the skin, and it's the largest gland in the body. It's a spongy mass of wedge-shaped lobes that has many metabolic and secretory functions. The liver secretes bile, a digestive fluid, metabolizes proteins, carbohydrates, and fats, stores glycogen, which is a storage form of carbohydrate, as well as storing vitamins and other physiologically crucial substances. It synthesizes blood clotting factors, regulates blood volume, and destroys old red blood cells. It's involved with immune function, and it removes wastes and toxins from the blood. Whoa, that's a lot of critical work. Liver tissue consists of soft masses of cells that are tunneled through with bile ducts and blood vessels. Hepatic cells make up about 60% of the tissue and perform more metabolic functions than any other group of cells in the body. A second group of cells, called Kupffer cells, line the smallest channels of the liver's vascular system and play a role in blood formation, antibody production, and ingestion of foreign particles and cellular debris to help get rid of them. Each day, the liver secretes about 1 quart of bile, which contains bile salts needed for the digestion of fats in the diet. Bile is also the medium for excretion of certain metabolic waste products, drugs, and other toxins. From the liver, a duct system carries bile to the common bile duct, which empties into the duodenum of the small intestine, which connects to the stomach, where the stomach's contents empty into the small intestine, and which also connects with the gallbladder. The gallbladder itself is a small reservoir tucked up into the liver where the bile is concentrated and stored. It's a little sac. The presence of fat in the duodenum, i.e., in the digestive products coming into the duodenum from the stomach, stimulates the flow of that bile out of the gallbladder and into the small intestine, where it helps to break down fat. Aging and worn-out red blood cells are destroyed in the liver, as well as in the spleen and bone marrow. A pigment, bilirubin, formed in the process of the related hemoglobin breakdown from the breakdown of the red blood cells themselves, is released into the bile, creating its characteristic greenish-orange color, and is then excreted from the body through the intestine. As blood flows through the liver, both from the large portal vein and from the hepatic artery, the blood is filtered. Nutrients entering the liver from the intestine are modified into forms that are usable by the body's cells or are stored for future use. Fats are converted into fatty acids and then into carbohydrates or ketone bodies and transported by the blood to the body's tissues, where they are further metabolized. Sugars are converted into glycogen, which remains stored in the liver until it's needed for energy production. It's then reconverted into glucose and released into the bloodstream. The liver manufactures blood serum proteins, including albumin and several clotting factors, and supplies them to the blood. The liver also metabolizes nitrogenous waste products and detoxifies poisonous substances, preparing them for elimination in the urine or feces. With all that depends on the liver, its reliable function is essential and it's remarkably resilient. But there's much that can go wrong as well. A common sign of impaired liver function is jaundice, a yellowness of the eyes and skin that comes from excessive bilirubin in the blood. Jaundice can result from an abnormally high level of red blood cell destruction, called hemolytic jaundice, defective uptake or transport of bilirubin by the hepatic cells, called hepatocellular jaundice, or a blockage in the bile duct system, called obstructive jaundice. Failure of hepatic cells to function can result from hepatitis, cirrhosis, tumors, vascular obstruction, or poisoning. Symptoms of liver failure may include weakness, low blood pressure, easy bruising and/or bleeding, tremors, and accumulation of fluid in the abdomen, as well as the yellowing jaundice. Blood tests when liver function is impaired can show abnormal levels of bilirubin, cholesterol, serum proteins, urea, ammonia, and various enzymes. Blood tests when liver function is impaired can show abnormal levels of bilirubin, cholesterol, serum proteins, urea, ammonia, and various enzymes. A more specific diagnosis of a liver problem can be established by performing an invasive needle biopsy directly of the liver tissue itself. The liver is subject to a variety of other disorders and diseases. Abscesses can be caused by acute appendicitis. Those occurring in the bile ducts may result from gallstones or may follow surgery. The parasite that causes amoebic dysentery in the tropics can produce liver abscesses as well. Various other parasites prevalent in different parts of the world also infect the liver. Liver cancer occurs mostly as secondary tumors originating elsewhere in the body, but it can be directly caused by hepatitis. Glycogen storage diseases, a group of hereditary disorders, generate a buildup of glycogen in the liver and an insufficient supply of glucose in the blood. Many drugs can damage the liver, producing jaundice and ultimately liver failure. Acetaminophen, for example, which is the active ingredient in Tylenol, when taken in high doses or in combination with alcohol, can cause severe liver damage and liver failure. And of course, regular alcohol intake can stress the liver and can ultimately lead to cirrhosis and liver failure if the alcohol use is heavy enough. The take-home message here is to avoid introducing toxins into the body to help keep your liver healthy. It works hard 24/7 to detoxify the body, along with all of its other jobs, in the face of all the exposure to toxins that we face just by living our lives in the modern world, let alone introducing more toxins by ingesting them. But if you do develop jaundice or other abdominal symptoms, it's important to be seen by a physician right away. So now let's move on and have a short review of the liver's close companion, the gallbladder. Recall that the gallbladder is an aptly named small collecting sac for bile, which is produced by the liver and, as we mentioned earlier, is used to help digest fats. The gallbladder is tucked up against the lobes of the liver where it stores and concentrates the bile. The gallbladder has a storage capacity of about 3 to 5 tablespoons, and by reabsorption of water, salts, and electrolytes through the gallbladder mucosa, the bile becomes more concentrated than it was in the liver, as much as 10 times more concentrated. When fat from a meal reaches the duodenum, cholecystokinin and secretin are secreted into the circulation, which, upon reaching the gallbladder, cause it to contract. This contraction plus peristalsis in the small intestine causes the gallbladder's opening valve, called the sphincter of Oddi, one of the most wonderful names in medicine, to relax, and then the bile can flow into the duodenum. With a high-fat meal, the gallbladder can completely empty within 1 hour. Gallbladder pain can be caused by biliary colic, gallstones, cholecystitis, which is an infection or inflammation of the gallbladder, pancreatitis, which is infection or inflammation of the pancreas, or cholangitis, which is infection or inflammation of the biliary tree. Obstruction from gallstones or tumors or cysts or infection in any part of this system can cause inflammation and colicky or constant pain, especially after meals, as well as maldigestion, nausea, and/or vomiting, depending on the severity and specific location of the obstruction or infection. Gallstones are solidified particles of substances in the bile. They are made of a combination of bile salts, cholesterol, and bilirubin. Gallstones can be as small as a grain of sand or as large as a golf ball. Most gallstones pass through the system on their own, but some require a minor procedure or even surgery. Diagnosis is made with labs, ultrasound, and/or a HIDA scan. Factors that contribute to the risk of developing gallstones include obesity, routinely eating high-fat or high-cholesterol diets, diabetes, and estrogen-based medications. Biliary colic, i.e. gallbladder-associated pain, gives a steady or intermittent ache or a sense of pressure in the upper right abdomen, usually under the right side of the ribs. In some people, the abdominal pain spreads back towards the right shoulder blade in a referred pain pattern. People may also have nausea and vomiting. Gallstones are the most common reason for biliary colic. The muscle cells associated with the bile duct contract vigorously to try to move the stone, causing the pain of biliary colic. A stricture of the bile duct or a tumor also can block bile flow and cause biliary colic. Because symptoms of biliary colic usually are triggered by the digestive system's demand for bile, they are especially common after fatty meals. The symptoms also can occur when a person who has been fasting suddenly breaks the fast and eats a very large meal. So what's to be done about biliary colic and gallstones? Because biliary colic is usually related to gallstones, it can be prevented by controlling the risk factors for gallstones. Some of these risk factors, such as heredity, increasing age, and pregnancy, are a normal part of life. Others, such as obesity and a high-fat diet, are risk factors that you can modify through a healthy lifestyle, even during the holidays. Surgery is not necessarily the first or best option for gallstones. If the colic has been relatively mild and intermittent, changing to a low-fat or fat-free diet combined with osteopathic treatment can be an effective and non-invasive way to resolve and prevent further episodes. Osteopathic treatment helps the body to pass any stones and restore normal function. If you have repeat and/or worsening episodes, it's important to have imaging done, such as ultrasound, to determine the specific location and nature of the obstruction. If the first episode of biliary colic is particularly severe, or episodes of colic keep returning or worsening, surgery to remove the gallbladder, called a cholecystectomy, usually is recommended. The procedure usually requires a brief stay in the hospital, and some people can leave the hospital the same day they have their operation. Like any surgery, however, there are risks of complications. If you do really need surgery to remove the gallbladder, you should know that the gallbladder is not absolutely necessary for human survival, as bile can reach the small intestine in other ways. But without the gallbladder, there's no concentrated storage reservoir for dealing with fatty meals, and fat digestion can therefore be compromised or incomplete in the absence of a gallbladder. So it's important to keep to a low-fat diet if you are living without a gallbladder. I do want to remind you that you always need immediate medical attention whenever you have severe abdominal pain, with or without nausea and vomiting. If you have symptoms of biliary colic and you suddenly develop a fever and shaking chills, this may signal a gallbladder infection called cholecystitis. So call to get medical attention right away. Which brings me back to osteopathy and to the close of today's show, here with a reminder that a good osteopathic physician who is a specialist in osteopathic manual medicine can be especially helpful for gastrointestinal issues of all kinds, including those related to the liver and gallbladder. Working gently with our hands, with the involved organs, nerves, vasculature, fascias, capsules, and associated tissues to release restrictions in the physical tissues of the gut organs, diaphragm, and blood and lymphatic flow, as well as to help balance the autonomic nervous system function based on anatomical detail, and to help with nutritional issues and support for whatever procedures you may be going through. Recall that all of the gastrointestinal tract is a complex physical entity with connections between all the parts that need to be open, flexible, and moving freely with excellent neural conduction from the cranial nerves, optimal arterial and venous blood flow, and lymphatic drainage to remain healthy, vital, and functioning normally. But now I seem to have run out of time again. I do that. I want to thank you so much for your attention to Your Health with Dr. Kim Tripp. Remember, you can email your comments and suggestions for topics to yourhealth@robinhoodradio.com. If you have a health issue yourself and would like to find out about how we might be able to help you in our practice of traditional osteopathy, we are at our offices in Sharon, Connecticut. Dr. Kim Tripp and Dr. Andrew Goldman, Goldman Tripp Osteopathic Healthcare, 860-364-5990, Monday to Friday, 8:45 a.m. to 5 p.m. with evening hours Wednesdays and Fridays, or on the web at www.goldmantripp.net. Meanwhile, I'll look forward to being with you next time. Take care and thanks for listening.